We should really consider this. If we as sentient beings want to transcend the samsara, then what type of energy, what type of dharma do we need to be able to transcend samsara? What we need is the energy of the lineage. And then also we need the purity of the students and courage of the students, and to be diligent and disciplined in their practice, and to have belief in the lineage, in the guru, and in themselves. We must possess all three of these, and our body, speech, and mind must correspond, and we practice under the feet, the guidance of our guru. And through this, we will be able to attain the realization of wisdom, emptiness of the great perfection. Buddha is not found externally, and we don't go teaching about the first or the second or the third space, Dhammakaya, Sanghakaya, Nimanakaya. We don't teach these openly. These we only get taught once we have received the respective pith instructions or the respective empowerments. If we do teach before receiving these, then this is the wrong path. We should only receive these or teach these once we have received these secret empowerments. And these shouldn't be taught on the internet. This is not according to proper Dharma activities for those that haven't received the pith instructions or the respective empowerments. And so, when you haven't received these empowerments, then don't go and listen to these teachings on the internet. The best is that you go personally and you receive these teachings or pith instructions from your root guru. These are secret teachings, and you're not allowed to go and tell everybody about these teachings or teach them on the internet. And this is according to our lineage. It's not as if anybody can teach these teachings. Even many Vajra gurus won't even teach these teachings. They will only teach them if it is by oral transmission personally to students. If we transmit these too often, then one is that the students aren't able to realize these practices, and the second is that these teachings no longer have any blessing. They lose their energy. So everybody really, with a lot of diligence, put this, place this into your heart, and then practice purely. We all know that the objects of our refuge are the three jewels. Four is of great merit to us, isn't it? And do sentient beings not have a lot of merit for us as well? They are the same as Buddha. If there were no sentient beings, we wouldn't be able to attain Buddhahood. Without sentient beings, there would be not one person that would be able to attain enlightenment. Why? Who is it that we are wishing to attain Buddhahood for? It's to benefit sentient beings, isn't it? And so the objects of our bodhicitta are sentient beings. It is not only Buddha that we rely on to attain Buddhahood. We rely on Buddha for the blessing, for the guidance, for the wisdom, and we rely on sentient beings for their compassion. Without sentient beings, how would we practice compassion? How would we be able to practice patience? How would we practice the six paramitas? And so we really rely on sentient beings. And so the merit of Buddha and of sentient beings is equal. The past Buddhas, those that are attaining Buddhahood now, the future Buddhas, they all rely on sentient beings to attain Buddhahood. Practice compassion. As it says in the Vajrayana, if you are driving in a car and you see an animal that has been hit on the road, or if you see animals outside your window, stray dogs, stray cats, or if you go to the abattoir, the butchery, and you see them being slaughtered, does our mind not give rise to compassion? Who brought about that compassion? It was those poor animals, those poor sentient beings. They helped us to give rise to true compassion within our mind stream. And as it says in the Vajrayana, All of these sentient beings are our teacher. Because of them, I gave rise to compassion, bodhicitta. Without these objects of our compassion, how would this compassion arise within our mind stream? From this we see that in part we rely on Buddha, and in part we rely on sentient beings to attain Buddhahood. Everybody, you really must practice bodhicitta. You must practice compassion very, very well. This is a very key point, and we must pay attention with respect to cause and effect in this regard. Cause and effect is really the scariest thing, and we're not able to see it. Pay attention to your actions. We were just talking about the lineage and what will enable us to attain Buddhahood is the practices that are passed down through this lineage of Trekcho and Togo. And this Dharma we may not randomly teach or randomly tell other people or randomly practice. And also we may not randomly read it. We must rely on the pure lineage of our guru and on the oral instructions of our guru. Whether your practice has any obstacles, whether your practice is pure or disciplined, diligent, whether your practice is improved, whether you have improved in your states of realization, and whether you are improving in your practice quickly or slowly, all depends on the purity of the lineage and the blessing of the guru. This is very important. If you have a pure lineage and a pure guru, then no matter what, the only result is to practice well and achieve realizations. You will attain realization through your practice. Why? Because there is this pure lineage. On the other hand, if the lineage and the guru is not pure, they have broken these arising causes with the pure lineages, then even if we are very, very diligent, we still won't attain realization. Because these arising causes are very subtle, very profound. As we say, this unsurpassable, profound Dharma. And what is the supreme and profound Dharma? Is this belief in our Guru and the pure lineage and the pure Guru. And the combination of these energies, just like you attaining liberation, enlightenment. Maybe one day you're just not paying attention and then suddenly, you are in the true nature of mind. And when you purposely try to abide in the true nature of mind, you're just not able to. On the other hand, sometimes we're just walking somewhere, we just relax, and then, we're abiding in the true nature of mind. This is very profound, and this relies on a pure lineage. This pure lineage is very important. Even although we may have many opportunities to attain enlightenment, we're just not able to. And on the other hand, we may have a lot of negative karma, a lot of negative cause and effect. However, when this profound arising causes ripen, even for those people whose negative karma is very strong, for instance, people that have worked at an abattoir or have been prostitutes for their whole life, and then they meet their profound guru, and they receive this very profound Dharma, they too can attain enlightenment in this very lifetime. And it states this fact in the sutras. And these very profound arising causes rely on a pure lineage. Some of the profound Dharma depends on our diligence, and some requires or depends on belief. Or it could be because of compassion, due to some compassionate activity, we may attain enlightenment. It could be because of our belief in our guru that we attain enlightenment, or due to our belief in Buddha, or because this lineage of ours is so pure that as a result of the energy of this lineage, we attain enlightenment. This is what is so supreme and profound. And these are from arising causes. Due to the coming together of these profound arising causes, one attains Buddhahood.